Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Agent Garbo by Stefan Talti tells the story of Juan Pujol Garcia, an unlikely Spanish civilian who reinvented himself into one of World War II's most effective double agents. Working through British intelligence, Pujol created the persona Garbo and built a sprawling network of invented subagents that German handlers believed was real. The book explores how this elaborate deception campaign fed the Nazi high command carefully crafted misinformation at crucial moments, most notably in the lead-up to the Allied invasion of Normandy. Talti presents espionage as a human enterprise, driven as much by psychology, ego, fear, and improvisation as by tradecraft. Garbo is portrayed as brilliant and eccentric, but also intensely committed, willing to gamble everything on the power of a convincing story. With D-Day as the high-stakes backdrop, the narrative emphasizes how a single source, if trusted, can shape enemy decisions and alter the course of a war. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from ordinary citizen to self-made spy. A central topic is how Juan Pujol Garcia transformed from an unremarkable Spaniard into a valuable intelligence asset through persistence and imagination. Rather than beginning as a trained operative, he is depicted as someone who recognized the stakes of the war and sought a way to influence it. The story highlights the early obstacles he faced in getting taken seriously by intelligence services and how he compensated for lack of formal credentials with audacity and narrative skill. This arc shows espionage not as an exclusive club, but as a field where unusual personalities can matter, especially when they bring creative problem solving. It also sets up the tension between institutional skepticism and operational necessity, since wartime agencies had to decide who was worth the risk. By following Pujol's decision to step into danger without a conventional pathway, the book emphasizes themes of agency and reinvention. Readers see how personal motive, political disillusionment, and moral urgency can drive someone to undertake extraordinary deception work. The topic also underlines a key lesson of intelligence history: the most consequential sources are not always the ones who look ideal on paper, and the ability to craft believable detail can be as decisive as technical skill. Secondly, building a fictional spy network that the Nazis trusted. Another important topic is the construction of Garbo's elaborate web of imaginary subagents and reports, a feat that depended on consistency, plausible logistics, and psychological insight. The narrative centers on how a single handler relationship can be leveraged into broader credibility when the information feels textured and ordinary. Garbo's success came from producing the kind of mundane specifics that make a story feel true, while carefully mixing small truths with strategic falsehoods. The book explores how trust is cultivated over time through responsiveness, apparent sacrifice, and the steady delivery of information that confirms what the receiver already suspects. It also shows the operational risk once you invent sources. You must maintain them, explain delays, justify failures, and occasionally stage events that protect the illusion. This topic illuminates the administrative side of deception, where record-keeping, timing, and message discipline matter as much as bold ideas. The effect is to portray intelligence as a long con requiring patience and the ability to anticipate how the enemy will interpret every detail. By focusing on credibility engineering, the book demonstrates how deception campaigns are built, maintained, and scaled until they influence strategic decisions. The double-cross system and the machinery of Allied deception. The book also highlights the British counterintelligence framework that enabled Garbo to operate, often associated with the broader double-cross approach of turning enemy agents and controlling their output. This topic explains why individual brilliance alone is not enough. An effective deception requires an institutional system that coordinates messages, validates targets, and aligns agent reporting with larger military objectives. Garbo's effectiveness depended on guidance, oversight, and the ability of British intelligence to synchronize what he told Germany with other channels, including controlled leaks and visible military activity. The narrative shows the balancing act between operational security and persuasion messages must be believable to the enemy, yet safe for Allied plans. It also explores internal tensions, such as skepticism toward unconventional agents, bureaucratic rivalry, and the constant fear of compromise. By examining the infrastructure around Garbo, the book portrays deception as a team sport involving case officers, analysts, and planners who shape what the agent can plausibly report. This topic helps readers understand how wartime intelligence services integrated human sources into strategic planning, turning individual reporting into a coordinated influence operation aimed at misdirecting enemy attention, delaying decisions, and buying the Allies time. Fourthly, misinforming Hitler and the high stakes of D-Day. A key focus is how Garbo reporting fed into efforts to mislead Nazi leadership about Allied intentions, especially regarding the timing and location of the invasion of Western Europe. the book frames deception as a way to shape enemy deployments, creating hesitation and misallocation of forces at the decisive moment. Rather than portraying D-Day as only a military triumph, it emphasizes the informational battlefield that preceded it, where belief could be as important as tanks. Garbo's value lay in being perceived as a trusted insider, whose warnings and confirmations would influence how German commanders interpreted Allied movements. This topic explores the fragile nature of such influence. If the enemy detects manipulation, the entire operation can collapse, potentially endangering thousands of lives. The narrative likely underscores the importance of timing, because deception must hold long enough to matter, but not so long that contradictions accumulate. It also illustrates how leaders under pressure can cling to familiar assumptions, making them vulnerable to tailored misinformation. By centering D-Day, the book shows how intelligence operations can have strategic and humanitarian consequences, reducing resistance at critical points and helping to secure a foothold that ultimately contributed to the liberation of Western Europe. Lastly, The Psychology of Espionage, Ego, Fear, and Moral Conviction. Beyond operations, the book examines the psychological and ethical dimensions of living a double life. Garbo's work demanded constant performance, managing multiple audiences, and sustaining credibility under extreme stress. This topic addresses how personal traits that seem eccentric can become operational strengths, such as an ability to improvise, tolerate uncertainty, and commit fully to a constructed identity. It also considers the emotional costs, isolation, paranoia, and the danger of being caught between ruthless regimes and secretive allies. The narrative invites readers to think about motivation, including moral opposition to totalitarianism, desire for recognition, and the thrill of outsmarting an adversary. Such motives can be both fuel and vulnerability, since intelligence services must rely on human beings who have complex needs. The book also raises questions about truth and deception as tools in wartime, suggesting that lying can be deployed in service of saving lives, yet still carry personal consequences. By focusing on inner life alongside external events, the story broadens from a tactical account to a study of character under pressure. Readers come away with a clearer sense that espionage success is often determined not just by plans, but by temperament, resilience, and the ability to persuade others to believe. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy World War II history, espionage narratives, and character-driven nonfiction, especially those curious about how information shaped the outcome of major battles. It will also appeal to fans of strategic deception, since it shows how belief management and narrative coherence can alter enemy decision-making without a shot being fired. The practical benefit is perspective. You see how credibility is built, how institutions coordinate complex operations, and how psychological insight can outperform brute force. These themes translate to modern life in softer forms, from evaluating sources and incentives to recognizing how narratives influence organizations and leaders. Compared with many D-Day accounts that focus primarily on ships, troops, and commanders, Agent Garbo highlights the hidden architecture of the invasion, the long campaign to misdirect German expectations and delay their responses. Talti's emphasis on an unconventional protagonist makes the history more intimate and memorable, adding tension because success depends on a single person sustaining an elaborate illusion. It is worth buying if you want a WWWA book that expands beyond battlefield chronology into the high-stakes craft of deception, showing why one eccentric, determined individual could matter at a pivotal moment in global history. If you would like to support Stefan Talti, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.